Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are back live. We spent a lot of the first hour in Columbia watching the celebration of the Gamecocks of another national championship. We heard Dawn Staley at the podium, and a very tired Dawn Staley joins us now. Coach, congratulations. It is great to have you with us. I know the last 16 or 17 hours have been surreal, but is there any way to put it into words what you and your program have experienced?
Well, Paul, thanks for having me on. I mean, this year was full of sacrifice. A lot of people sacrificed for the greater good of our team, and they just made the year special. So I know they'll carry that life lesson on to the rest of their lives, and know that when they sacrifice things, most times you reap the benefit of that sacrifice in the tune of something that's huge, that they'll be able to remember and enjoy and share with loved ones.
I know it's never about you, Coach, but we mentioned earlier the gold medal, and we've had that conversation with you just a few months ago, and now this against UConn, against the standard bearer in the sport, Coach Arurima. I know it's never about the other coach, or it's never personal, or it shouldn't be, I guess, but this had to be somewhat different, did it not?
Yeah, it was different, though. So, I mean, the difference is more times than not, when you're playing against UConn, you're playing against their history and their tradition. And the moment that they beat Stanford, it did come up, you know, the narrative did come about of them winning their 12th and them never losing in the finals. And it was less about us, which was cool as well. But you know, I thought who we had coming into the game, the roster that we had, the schedule that we played, it set us up really nicely to defeat them. And I think it's great for us, for women's basketball, to know that the championships really go through UConn. No matter how you look at it, their success. And then when we won in 2017, because we didn't play UConn, you know, our championship wasn't validated in the tune of beating you know, the traditionally rich program of UConn.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Considering what you've had to accomplish in some people's minds, you still had to do that. But beyond that, and certainly that check mark has been marked. I know you encourage your fan base to celebrate, and did they ever last night? Will they continue tonight? But for someone who doesn't like to talk about themselves, I would like to ask you just personally what this has been like for you. And I know there's not much time to process it, but you've had a little bit of time flying back and taking the ride over to the arena today. What has been going through your mind since late last night?
I mean, I take a look at social media and see what's happening out there. And I didn't know that it was a historical moment for black coaches, men and women, because no other black coach has won two national championships. And I'm super proud that I was able to do it because, I'm one that likes to lend hope to other coaches, and especially other black coaches who don't get as many opportunities to to actually just head a program. So, and that hope is not necessarily in the form of national championships, because somebody else's national championship is, you know, getting a first generation college graduate through school. A national championship, you know, is, you know, helping young people through being a dream merchant. So national championship, just a symbolic achievement in helping others. So, but I'm glad. I'm happy that I'm part of history, and hope that somebody will come along and pretty much dethrone that history by winning more and more and more.
And Coach, I know that you've told this story many, many times, and it was reiterated over the weekend about when you received the net. I think it was from Coach Peck a number of years ago when she broke through and won a championship, and you've done the same. Should I assume that will continue now?
It absolutely will continue, but it will continue in other, I think, just other professions. Like I said, after we won, I talked to the media. There are, you know, black media members who don't get opportunities that other people get. I like to share a piece of my net with them. I like to share a piece of my net with, you know, black men who are extinct in our as far as getting head coaching jobs and positions. They've been reduced to being assistant coaches for, you know, their entire careers, because, you know, if you're going to hire someone. Thank you. If you're going to hire someone, it quite honestly, the percentages for, you know, white male or females are greater than black females. And then black males are, you know, the lowest of the totem pole. So I just want to share hopes and dreams for people who feel like they've given to the game, but yet they don't get an opportunity like other people. So I'm just going to share it. People may like it. People may not like it, but if I got a voice for the voiceless, I'm going to use it.
Coach, I know you're being pushed and pulled, but I want to close with something I know you've seen, but maybe the audience isn't aware of. But a couple of hours ago, former President Obama tweeted the following: congratulations to the Gamecock women's basketball team and Coach Dawn Staley for winning the national championship. Coach Staley has built a powerhouse, and it's great to see all their hard work pay off. I know you've been congratulated by many, many people, but I'm just making a wild guess. That was pretty special from the former president.
Oh, super special, because he's never had us as winning a national championship. He always had us losing maybe in the Sweet 16 or Elite 8. So I was happy to retweet him and say, we proved him right for once. So that was super special, receiving a tweet from him, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I forget the president used to pick the Final Four, and I guess he was stuck on UConn like the rest of the world. Coach, we'll let you go. I know you got a lot to do, but we really appreciate you making time for us.
Thank you, Paul, as always. Appreciate you.
It's our pleasure. The head coach of the national champs, Dawn Staley, joining us from Columbia just shortly after getting back from Minneapolis and already going. I mean, she's not been home yet. They bust right to the Colonial Arena, where they had the quick celebration. They'll have a parade later in this week. We'll give you the update on that, and we appreciate her making time for us here. A little bit of dig at President Obama there for not picking them in the past. Why not? We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And there is our next guest, Jim Cavall, with a couple of well-known people. How about that? Ross Bjork from A&M, Bruce Pearl. And Jim Cavall joining us. We've talked to Jim many, many times about NIL. He plays a big role. Jim, great to have you on. You're always hanging out with the celebrities, man. I wish you should have taken us to the Grammys last night.
Oh, I wish you were down in New Orleans. We had a great time, and Bruce and Ross and Courtney were just a few of the leaders who were able to get together for our influencer gathering, talking about NIL and doing it at the Final Four, so it was a lot of fun.
Well, what did you hear from those in the bubble, so to speak, in intercollegiate athletics about how it's going as we are now about 8-9 months in?
Well, Well, you know, we're still, you know, maybe 200 meters into a 26.2 mile marathon. And, you know, a lot of it still has to play out. But obviously there's been a world of difference from just when we spoke back in July and NIL began. I mean, collectives have emerged on all the major campuses, and those collectives are really, you know, pioneering a lot of what's going on with NIL. So it's an interesting, and, you know, it's really unique in that the schools aren't able to handle the facilitation of deals. And because of that, other parties like collectives are emerging to help make that happen.
Jim, you know what the critics have said, especially this weekend at the Final Four. There has been a lot of criticism saying this is the wild, wild west. This is absolute thievery. It's programs buying players. I know you don't like to hear that, but it's the reality. How do you respond?
Well, I think that it's a circumstance of the differences between pro and college NIL. We used pro NIL to model what could happen in college. The reality is pro athletes all have agents. They all have a players association, court and group licensing opportunities, and none of them have to go to class. Student athlete NIL is just a lot harder than I think people accounted for. Student athletes not only have school and football or whatever sport they play, but they don't have agents. At least 99% of them don't. And they don't have a players association. So everything they're going to do with NIL, they have to put in a lot of work to get done. And so a lot of the folks who've come in and helped, in some situations are being looked at and doing it in ways that might not be legitimate NIL, but this is a new NIL era in college that we have nothing to compare to before it. So I understand how some of the things may look different and unique and even innovative in how they're being done, but it's a brand new era and really a brand new space.
Jim, that's all great, especially if the critics are coming from the media. But you know, and if you don't, I'll be happy to give you their names privately, but you already know their names. People inside, head coaches, are saying what I just got through regurgitating. So I'm trying to square it all, and I'm not blaming you. You're just you're the messenger here. You're not the guilty party, but it is already somewhat out of control, especially with the transfer portal, when schools are using whatever means possible, and they're not even doing it. There are agents out there who are doing so. How do we figure all this out, or can we?
Well, I think what really needs to happen is the universities need to be able to have more involvement in NIL. And, you know, the reality of this is because all the states that have created NIL bills and even the schools who created their own NIL policies have been left to do so on their own. They've all put this clause of no institutional involvement into their policies. And I think we've seen that that's not going to work. And so when the school's not involved and then the coaches don't feel like they can control this, and they're used to controlling everything, Paul, right? Everything. And now they really don't feel in control with this. It creates a gap between what the school can be involved in and what actually happens. That puts coaches in a place where they get worried because they're still going to be judged on wins and losses. So it's understandable that this area that they can't control as much is actually bothering them because it's playing into what matters to them most, which is their record. And so I think getting schools the ability to be more involved, have more of NIL in-house, is going to be really important in the years to come.
So how is that going to solve the problem?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, I think, number one, it allows the schools to start to use their own system to be the barrier to entry from anything that might be illegitimate or looked at later in this era as something that was cheating. I think the schools have to protect that. I think they have to stay in control. And I think by not doing that, these outside organizations doing whatever they're doing without the school knowing are gaining a power that could actually rival the school. I mean, we've seen that even with things in the past where you've had powerful boosters in each school's market who've, you know, really gained influence and almost become a separate sector of power outside of the leadership at the school. The school has to prevent that from happening. They need to have their own system that everything flows through for their student athletes and NIL so they can oversee it with the rules, but also so they can have their strategy be the one that happens at their school and not some outside entity creating that strategy.
So, Jim, that sounds great in theory. So how does that happen? How do the schools get power?
Well, one thing that a lot of our schools are doing is they're adding a new product we created to help them do that called the Influencer Local Exchange. And what it is it's a marketplace. Texas A&M is an example of one of the schools in the SECs who's added that. The 12th Man Exchange is a place where anyone who wants to work with Texas A&M players has to go and register to be approved by Texas A&M Athletics. And then from there, any payment that goes to the student athlete goes through that system so they can oversee all those payments. No transaction fees, no money's being made off the payments, but it allows a new layer of data, of oversight, to ensure that everything that's happening is within the policy of Texas A&M, which has also got to be within the policy of the state of Texas. And it really allows Texas A&M Athletics to keep one system monitoring and filtering everything that's happening with their student athletes.
Jim, I think it's great that Texas A&M and Ross Bjork are working so hard to do that. However, as you well know, they are the school that coaches in the SEC, both publicly and privately, are pointing at as the biggest offender. So how do we square that?
Well, I think, Paul, you and I both know that most of what's happening right now at MIL is false FOMO. Reality is there's a lot of things like message boards in the Texas A&M situation that have created legends and myths that, quite frankly, from my viewpoint, aren't real. And it's now when you lost a player before, it was 10 other things that people made up in their head that were the reason beyond they just chose that school. And now with this, it's a new reason to say, oh, there must be something going on with NIL. And I'm not saying those things aren't happening. I'm just saying that it's a lot of leaders who've been around for a long time walking around feeling like they're actually doing worse than they really are. It's 9 months into a brand new era. It's not as big of a deal as I think some people think it is when it comes to recruits. And then in other situations, it might have been to the decision maker for the recruit, but it's because they showed that there's real results happening at their school. They didn't promise a deal. So I understand the problem that some people have with some schools when it comes to rumors being brought up, but I think they need to validate those rumors.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that's easy to do, just like I'm not sure it's easy to solve the problem. But and again, I want to make it clear to you, Jim, I'm not basing these questions off of message boards and social media. I'm basing it off of talking to real people at real schools who are encountering this on a daily basis, who continue to argue the paradigm has changed so dramatically and that certain schools, good for them or not, got out to an early start and were able to take advantage of the system, whatever system we're talking about here, and I'm not really even sure.
Yeah, I think that, listen, anybody that thought that NIL was going to be this balancing effect where every school was going to, you know, all of a sudden be on a level playing field, I think this is just like having the money to build a great weight room or anything else you've seen separate people in the arms race. If you have a lot of eyeballs on your brand, then a player that plays for that brand is going to have a lot more opportunity. And so I think that's just a reality that the bigger brands are going to take advantage of, especially when they can build a system that they can tell anyone who wants to work with their athletes to go to, connect with them, and be able to process a transaction with them. And here's the thing. Texas A&M and everyone else is going to have to show the value exchange that occurred with every single transaction an athlete receives. And so if that doesn't happen, then this was an NIL. And I think Texas A&M and the schools, at least I know that are using our system, are doing that because every payment has a contract attached to it that shows what the player was paid, what they were given for whatever service or value exchange they provided with their NIL. And that's going to be something every school has to do when it comes to NIL.
Well, close, since you do have, I don't know what your formal relationship is with Texas A&M, but obviously you have some relationship with them. What are they doing out there that seems to be working so well? They just had the greatest recruiting class in college football history.
Well, I don't think it's just Texas A&M, though, Paul. I mean, well,
they are the school I'm most interested in right now, Jim, if we could keep it
there. Yeah, sure. I think they've done a great job of branding an online place for anyone who wants to search, find, communicate with, and work with their athletes. And they've brought it all into one place. I think a lot of other student athletes are getting hit up on DMs on Twitter or Instagram. They don't know what's legit or not. And there's this bottleneck that's been created and put onto the student athlete that Texas A&M's eliminated with good technology. We're a technology provider. We're software. And, you know, the couple hundred Division I schools that have contracts with us pay us to provide software to help their athletes build their brands and manage their NIL businesses. And Texas A&M is one of those 206 Division I schools that we do that with. But I think they've done a great job adding this new local exchange that they've branded the 12th Man Exchange and allowed for, you know, anyone who wants to work with their student athletes to know they can go to find them, communicate with them, and transact with them for their NIL. And I think all schools should be thinking of how to do that, because people who want to work with their athletes need to know where to go to find them, communicate with them, and actually transact with them. And it's a little harder than you think for most businesses at this point to do that.
Jim Cavall joining us, talking about the subject, NIL. Thank you very much, Jim. We'll take a short break. Back with more of your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Great to have you here. Dawn Staley joins us at the top of the hour. Let's check in with Mike next. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Great, great. Listen, I just had a comment there, your last caller. I appreciate his opinion and stuff, but I think that they may be overlooking some things. And one, namely, if the universities started having control of this, you know, what's to prevent, number one, someone to go into that high school athlete before he even knows where he wants to go to college and doing a deal with him? And then, you know, beyond that, you know, what kind of legalities might you run into in trying to, looking at that possible scenario and dictating who that athlete would have to do business with? You understand what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, I do.
This kid's going to have the freedom to do business with whoever he wants to. And so it really, at the end of the day, the way I see it, is most likely you couldn't put together a legal situation to prevent them from doing a deal with someone before they chose a university. And so it might be that the kid would turn around the university and say, hey, look, I got a deal with these guys, and if you want me to come there, you're going to accept them. I mean, so at the end of the day, is there really – any kind of strength behind what your previous caller was saying?
Mike, I didn't find his answer to be rather workable. And I realize he's a front man for software, and he needs clients. But and maybe he was the wrong person to ask. But I can tell you know that it's a serious problem out there, and the number of head coaches, some of whom are speaking out publicly, but privately, they are all, most of them are seething right now about what is going on.
Well, I hate to say it, and everybody's probably might throw rocks at the radio me saying this, but I just hated seeing them do it to begin with. I mean, in my opinion, they should have turned around to these high school athletes and said, hey, look, if you get somebody to pay you to play right now, in other words, go to the NFL or what have you, help yourself. Off you go. Okay. But if you don't, then we're offering you a scholarship to come play here, you know, under these guidelines.
I hear you, Mike. And I understand where you're coming from. I've covered the game long enough to understand that mentality. Unfortunately, or fortunately, take your pick. We have moved past that because of mismanagement at the NCAA level. And
right.
because when they did not take control over the situation, they ceded it to anyone who wanted it. Maybe even Congress. They lost the game, and now it's almost impossible to manage. That's where we are. Kevin is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah. Hey, Paul. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for letting me visit. Yeah, the premise of this call is that it doesn't seem like anybody's got the moxie or the chutzpah to mention the elephant in the room in the NCAA tournament, and that would be obviously Kansas. Why isn't Kansas on probation by now?
It's a good question, and it's not like you're saying it or I'm saying it. The NCAA essentially called him a cheater 3 years ago, and I'm speaking of Bill Self, who very likely will be the national champion tonight, and you won't hear Jim Nance breathe a word of it on CBS because he's too much of a hack for the network. But he easily could have lost his job, and many people think he should have lost his job. But instead, he didn't suffer any penalties, and Kansas will very likely be the champion.
Yes, I do believe that they probably will tonight. But just to give you a timeline, this was 4.5 years ago.
Yes.
A pseudo blue blood, Arizona, let their coach go to try to soften the blow on this because they were involved in this too. Oklahoma State is now on probation. They were involved in that investigation.
LSU finally let its coach go.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Right. I mean, that was unbelievable right there. But it seems as though Kansas has taken the script from LSU.
Yeah.
I dare you to come after us because we are a blue blood. I can't believe the media wouldn't be all over this.
Well, some people in the media are, but most people don't pay much attention to anything other than what's on the screen tonight. And you know that those guys are never going to mention it because that's just not who they are. They have partnerships with the network, with the NCAA and with the sport, and their job is to promote it and make it as melodramatic as possible.
I agree. They're infomercial guys, but it is such a huge topic. It should be such a huge topic. You know, it just seems like Kansas has taken the same route LSU is and daring. Okay, so
yeah, you're 100% correct. Kevin, if you had told me 4 years ago that Bill Self would still be coaching at Kansas, I would have bet any amount of money or anything I could grab that you would be wrong. But here we are.
Here we are, Paul. And the other thing is, I can't believe after 4 years that kids wouldn't get a whiff of this. I mean, obviously, information's everywhere. Why would you go to Kansas or Arizona or LSU or Oklahoma State when they see this?
That's
everywhere, this information.
Yeah.
you know, and it got Chuck Person at Auburn, and
right.
They probably got off light on this, you know. But it's 4.5 years, and this is just an unbelievable drop in the ball, if you will. And the other thing, going back to this Texas A&M greatest class in history, blah, blah, blah. How does their basket, if they're doing it for the football, there, I have to look. I haven't looked. How is their basketball recruiting going? I mean, what's good for the Goose is good for the Gander in-house paying kids over there at College
Kevin,
Station.
It's going well, but it's certainly not at the same level as and some. That's not unusual. You know, basketball is an important sport, but football is more important at Texas A&M. Nick is up next. Nick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. First-time caller. Really surprised I got through. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I was just calling about Jim and the NIL, and he had a lot of nice things to say. But in my opinion, which doesn't mean anything, I just think that the institutional control is exactly what we're trying to get away from. And I understand that things are topsy-turvy and upside down and people are going crazy, but it is what it is for now, in my opinion. I think it should just work its way out. You know, the NCAA had no control over this. Once the Supreme Court went and ruled on this, the NCAA also had the opportunity years before this to get in front of this, but they decided that they wanted to keep all their eggs in their basket. So kind of they're going to kind of get what they didn't ask for, and that is what's going to happen. And even though A&M is out there and had a great recruiting class and the best of them to them, there's one thing called the transfer portal that will be the thing that will even the playing field. I don't think that anything was set up to even the playing field as far as this taking place, Paul, but I do believe that the transfer portal will be that thing.
Well, you know, Nick, and I it may have gotten lost in the interview, but the real issue I'm hearing and others are hearing, it's not the recruiting on the front end that's yeah, in Texas A&M's case it may have been, but the real damage is being done in the portal, where coaches are complaining that they can't keep their own players because someone else is coming along with a better offer, and that to me is the more pressing challenge. Let's check in with John, who is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Well, you know that dude that was just on with you?
Yeah, Jim Cavell.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's so full of crap, his eyes turn brown on TV. Ask question. How many times has Jimbo Fisher ever recruited, out-recruited Nick Saban?
This would be, you know, I wouldn't, I mean, you might go back at Florida State. There could have been a year there, but at Texas A&M, this would be the first time.
Uh-huh. Well, when they came out with this NIL, Paul, I said they will run college football, and I believe it. And they thought it was unfair before. Huh. Wait till, I mean, you know, and I believe that Saban is as straight up as there of any coach that's ever been to Alabama. Because you go back and look at all the players that he has coached in 15, 16 years, have you ever heard one speak out against him?
No.
That tells everybody.
I have not heard any. I know there was a player early on with some things bubbled up, but nothing came of it. But, no, you're right. Jimbo Fisher is the guy with the target on his back right now. And, you know, he didn't just win in recruiting. He dominated against the two best recruiters in college football, Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. You will get some aftershocks when you do that. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back as we continue. We've had a busy show with Dawn Staley a few minutes earlier, and more of your phone calls right now. Let's check in with Mark, who is in Knoxville. Hey, Mark.
Paul, hope you're well.
Thank you.
A couple of things. The gentleman that you had on, I think he's the CEO of the NIL, he was almost like reading from a script, I think. And, you know, everything you ask him, he, and also, I'm going to switch bases a little bit to Jimbo Fisher. If memory serves me correct, Jimbo was ready to leave Florida State, and Texas A&M gave him this unbelievable contract, and it was designed for him to win national championships. And of course, I think he's disappointed some people there. And all of a sudden, because of the portal and because of this, INL, he's got the best recruiting class in the history of mankind. And I just think that NIL has too many variables involved as far as boosters and other influences that could, it's unfair to a lot of schools. But my point is, if he can do this, other schools can too. And I just have serious, concerns about this blowing way out of control with a lot of schools and some coaches that maybe don't have that integrity, going forward.
Well, Mark, everyone is catching up now. I think what caught everybody by surprise was that, and I don't know exactly how he did it, but Jimbo Fisher figured out a way to manipulate NIL to his advantage. And I'm not suggesting it was illegal. Jimbo was on here 3 months ago essentially saying what we're doing now used to be considered cheating. He's not running away from it. He's embracing it. And by the way, what he's doing is legal. It's just he figured out something that everyone else is now catching up on. Thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Nick is up next in Florida. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul. You had me laughing with your Jim Nance comment about what he might not say. And here I was watching your Dawn Staley interview, and you didn't ask her why that team didn't come out for the American anthem, for the national anthem. And so it makes me laugh. South Carolina women's basketball lost $5 million last year. They lost more money than all the other women's sports at South Carolina combined. Now, Dawn Staley made $3 million. So I was just curious to hear from her own lips, while Americans struggled to fill up their gas tank.
Nick, if I could jump in from this political speech here, I have talked to Dawn Staley about that issue in the past, so I didn't really feel the need to ask her again today in the aftermath of her national championship win. But listen, I'm not a CPA. I wouldn't argue or quibble with your numbers, but I would say what Dawn Staley has brought South Carolina today alone is worth far more than whatever number that you came up with in terms of the red line from last year. But I do appreciate your call. Thank you. Jason is up next in Chicago. Hello, Jason.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
We are great. Thank you.
I was calling in regards to the gentleman that was talking about Bill Self, and you guys were thinking, why hasn't he been let go? Why is he still coaching at Kansas? And he certainly could win a championship tonight and so forth. Do you guys know why the NCAA has been investigating Kansas and what they apparently have against them?
I certainly remember when the story first came out. I haven't kept up with it on a day-to-day basis. Have you?
Okay. Yeah. I have.
Well, tell us.
Originally, it went back to a couple players that Kansas, one player apparently had a car, and it was identified after he got in a car accident. That player, am I allowed to mention player names or no?
I don't know why not.
Okay. That player, Billy Preston, never played another game for Kansas, left midseason, and yeah.
Man, he could play some music.
Yeah, he's also, don't know about that, but a good basketball player. Then they had a few years back, Cliff Alexander. Apparently his mom took money from an agent.
Okay, if I could, I need to speed this up, Jason, because we're getting close to it. So in the summation of all this is what? Bill Self should be considered for the Nobel Prize or what?
Well, I'm not saying Nobel Prize, but it's been 4 years since they brought it up. Nothing has happened. They have nothing against them. If anything, the newest thing is Zion Williamson is apparently
you're committing a cardinal sin right now. You were talking about Kansas. Now you've completely jetted across the country to Duke. Can you stay on Kansas?
No, the most recent claim is that Zion Williamson wanted to go to Kansas as long as they offered him what was offered to them at Duke.
Nobody is taking that has nothing to do with this investigation. Listen, you can believe whatever you want about Bill Self. It doesn't matter. I don't care. He can cheat. He can be honest. He's playing North Carolina tonight. We all know what happened there 5 or 6 years ago. It's the NCAA championship. What do you expect?